Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 KVOI. Good afternoon. It's Tuesday afternoon, the day after what turned out to be a kind of a debacle of a football game, but entertaining if you had Clemson. I think a lot of people who didn't think they had Clemson because they beat up on Alabama. I know the Alabama people are steadfast and pretty loyal, but they didn't show up last night, which is a very big surprise to me, and I'm sure to a lot of people who thought they would show up and win the game pretty easily. It never happened. From the kickoff to the end, it was pretty much all Clemson, which was a very surprise, a big surprise to me. I said on the air yesterday that I had Alabama straight up, and well, tells you what I know about things. But here I am on the show talking about sports. Today's going to be a busy day for me, an exciting day, I think. I always say that because I'm always excited to be on the radio. I'm going to have Michael Picaretta on about 1:30 as the local attorney. Many of you probably know who he is. He does a lot of these public services. At least he does for people who ask him for the media. I want him to kind of break down the Book Richardson plea yesterday. The plea happened about an hour after I had yesterday's show done, maybe about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My show was done about 3, but I want to say maybe 4, around that time, that it broke that Book Richardson was going to go through a plea bargain and deal with it that way and not go to trial in April. So we'll know more, at least get some lawyer talk from an attorney here that's well-respected. That'll be at 1:30. And then at 2:05, actually, I have a friend calling in from, I think he's going to be in Miami. He might be somewhere else in the East Coast. Darren Weiner, he's a kind of like a sports agent, real estate agent for the Stars. I think he has a lot of sports clients, athletes who are clients who have bought or who have purchased homes from him, And I think at one time he was an agent to some of these guys, doing really well. I think he was around U of A in the late 80s, early 90s, when I kind of first started my career here in Tucson. So that'll kind of date me and how long I've been here and how old I am. Although I always joke about I'm too old to be out joking. Does that make sense, John? How are you, John? Good afternoon.
Doing good, thanks.
Good, good. Did you do anything sports-wise yesterday? I'm going to get you like I get Bob, some out doing, a broken bat and a player to be named later.
Okay.
No? Nothing? Did you watch the game last night? Probably not.
Probably not. I was here.
You were here? You worked late last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that gets me off the hook.
Okay, I get it. That's your excuse.
You bet that.
Make sure your teacher has a note next week, next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Buckmaster was reminding me of my sports history.
Oh, and what is that?
I did play some dodgeball in kindergarten and first grade.
Well, I do that every day. I do dodge a lot of things. Doesn't have to necessarily be a ball. But
I don't know. You play kickball, too?
Back in the day, I used to run fast. Not so much anymore. No, I don't. I just run from things now.
Right.
You know.
I know that feeling. So, yeah, that's my sports for the day.
Oh, okay. Good, good. I guess. Oh, that's better than yesterday.
Well, true.
I caught you a little off guard yesterday when I asked about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. Let's see. Darren at the 2 o'clock hour. And I'm hoping that I get lucky enough to get a call from Ronnie Veal. I talked to Ronnie on the show about 2 months ago, a little before the ASU U of A football game. It's already been that long. Talking about his history with U of A and ASU, the rivalry. He was the quarterback for U of A and Dick Tomey back in the late 80s. Him and George Malaulu split time in those days when I covered the team then. I was a young, skinny guy. And how I want him to call in or want him to call in, he's in Georgia right now. He's a fireman out there. But he teaches or coaches quarterbacks, young and aspiring quarterbacks in Georgia, and they go to him. He's very popular to become college quarterbacks. And one of his quarterbacks was last night's winning quarterback for Clemson, and that was Trevor Lawrence. And he's worked with him since he was like in seventh grade or something. And now Trevor Lawrence, if he was able to go out to the NFL draft, This year, he'd probably be the number one pick. At least that's what we were saying last night after the big win. But he's not allowed to. In the NFL, if you don't know, they have to go to college for 3 years. So he has two more years in college. It's not like the NBA where you go one and done and you're out of here. If that was the case, he'd be done at Clemson for his one and only year. He had such a good game last night. Very impressive from the defense, from the offense. football you don't see here locally at U of A, but obviously that's the tier, the top tier of college football as we know it. Last night, although Alabama's seen better days, Clemson really handed it to them last night, as they did not so much 2 years ago when they won it, but they won it 2 years ago as well. So not a dynasty in the making, but maybe at the beginning stages of something very special. Let's see. I spent yesterday with Sean Miller and Ryan, the shooter from U of A. Now I just lost my mind with his name. But he talked about shooting, how much he's adapted to Arizona, and how he's doing better than what he was doing when he had his injured hand earlier this year. I think his problem right now, and although he didn't want to admit it in one of my questions, maybe it's confidence, but Miller did agree with one of my questions, saying that he thought it was more about thinking about trying to do well and just not doing well. But it seems like he's coming around. Ryan Luther, now that name finally popped into my head. Ryan Luther. So I think he's played better lately. He definitely played better in the second half in the last game against Utah. So we'll see how that progresses in the next couple of days. But they definitely need him now that he's coming off the bench. It's funny, and I don't know, Bruce Pascoe, who's a colleague of mine or a friend of mine for the Daily Star, asked a couple of quick questions because Ryan Luther was the star at Pittsburgh last season, scoring in double figures, I think rebounding in double figures or close to it, and now he's coming off the bench for Arizona. And that's kind of the difference in the programs these days. And he was a senior last year, and now he's a graduate transfer. So we'll see how Arizona does on the road in the next couple of days. They play Stanford tomorrow and then Cal late into the night on Saturday night. But I think, if my projections are correct, they'll probably win both games, although it's difficult to win both on the road. Especially on that trip, the Cal-Stanford trip is sometimes hard, although Sean has never lost to Stanford while at Arizona. I don't remember the number completely, but it could be like, 14, 15 straight times. So they have that. The women's basketball team returns home here this week to face their Cal and Stanford, I think it is. We'll see how they rebound after their first loss in the last 11 games. John, do I sound a little sick and stuffy? No? Do I sound normal?
Yeah.
That's pretty how I always
speaking
sound.
Yeah, okay.
My reference?
Yeah, a little bit.
Little stuffy? My nose feels a little stuffy. Yeah. So, so I just sound that way all day. Let's see what else is going on. I think that's it. Well, the minor sports will start to happen here pretty soon. I saw a kind of a cool video with Candrea and his softball team. On Instagram, I think it was yesterday, he was trying to do some dance moves, and they were pretty excited for a guy who's, I think, 60 years old, and he was doing some dance moves. I think that's it. Tomorrow's show, I'm going to have a couple of pretty good guests. I'm going to have Jerry Stitt on in the second hour, the 2 o'clock hour. He's going to talk about his camp. His camp that he has with his former players from U of A. I know that George Audius is going to be coming in with him at the 2 o'clock hour, talking about the camp and talking about some of the good old days at Arizona, maybe Pima. That's where they'll be having the camp. I don't want to give any bad information, but I know it's Sunday the 13th, and I think it's pretty cheap. It's $25. I don't know the time. I think it's all day from 8 to about 3, but we'll talk more about that tomorrow. I also have a couple of other people that I don't want to announce right now, but it should be a good packed show tomorrow with people in the studio. I'm not sure, John. Do you know anything? Are we going to be moving into the new digs tomorrow or sometime soon?
We've said yes several times.
So okay, you'll say yes now.
Definitely. Yeah.
so maybe is that's the
that's a solid maybe. Yeah. Sorry, but chances are. you know, it should be sometime, we're hoping, this week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'd be good.
You never know what you're going to do.
I don't know if the cameras are going to be working. I hope they are not because, you know, hey, I don't want them on my face.
Oh, you'll be over your cold by then.
I'll be over my cold. Yeah, yeah. Sure. But there's nothing you can do with my face. So, you know, it is what it is.
Well, at least your nose won't be so red.
Yeah. Right. Maybe I just need to, okay, get ready for today. Hey, let's go to break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more before we talk to Mike Picaretta. Thanks a bunch, Chuck.
I'm Ron Hess from the Window Depot. You know about our great prices and our biggest inventory on windows and doors. Well, now the Window Depot is the place for all your kitchen cabinets. And that's not all. Now you can get granite countertops at the Window Depot. That's right. We now stock a large variety of prefab granite countertops starting at $116 for a 9-foot section. That's less than Formica. So come into the Window Depot today because now we have granite.
At Raskob Kamborian Financial Advisors, we need to be kept abreast of the market. Lee Schnock Network Solutions has kept us up to date in technology and has allowed us to grow and serve our clients with top-of-the-line continuous research. Lee Schnock services our entire network infrastructure so we can get our work done. We rely on Lee Schnock for their professional and responsive network services.
Raskob Kamborian trusts us with their network. Shouldn't you? Call us today at 888-9122. Lee Schnock Network Solutions, 888-9122.
Hi, this is Mario, Dr. Bedoya's son of Dedicated Dental. Would you do me a favor? Whatever you're doing, take a moment and smile. Come on, just smile, as big as you can. There, see, that wasn't too hard. As silly as that was, I bet you feel better. At Dedicated Dental, we believe that in today's super busy world, smiling has never been more important. It instantly makes you feel better, and it's a gift to others. Did you know that many people consider one smile your most noticeable feature? So how do you rank on the smile meter? If you feel uneasy about smiling because of a dental concern, we can help you. Dr. Bedoya and his associates at Dedicated Dental have been helping this community with their smiles for about 40 years. Now that's a ton of smiles. And with our state-of-the-art 3D imaging and expertise in implants, it's never been more exciting. We do it all. Implants, dentures, wisdom teeth, root canals, cosmetics, whitenings, and cleanings. Call today for your free consultation with the doctor at 573-1900. Dedicated Dental, 573-1900.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness. From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030, KBOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KBOI, Trusted News and Talk. Let's get back to a few things. The playoffs this weekend, I forgot the NFL playoffs, but those are big, down to, I think, 8 teams. We have Indianapolis versus Kansas City. That's on Saturday, and so is Dallas at Los Angeles with the Rams. And then Sunday, the Chargers, L.A. Chargers. I want to say Clippers. It tells you how old I am. The L.A. Chargers at New England and Philadelphia at New Orleans, and that's on Sunday. Should be a lot of fun this weekend in terms of getting ready for the Super Bowl in a few weeks. I know it's been a long season. I'm part of a pool that you pick teams, and I didn't have a good season. We won't talk about that, but I just want to say I didn't have a good season. Not a fun. Not fun when you're not picking the right teams, John. You know how that goes.
I never get them wrong.
You never? Yeah, because you don't play.
Right.
Yeah, I got that. That's a trick question. Yeah. Clever, John. I have to pay attention to you. I get it. I get it. So a big weekend that way, too. We'll see what happens. I think that Indianapolis is pretty good with Luck. Obviously, I'm not telling you anything new there. But it's kind of suspect with Kansas City. I know I was on the show with Chris this morning on Wake Up Tucson, and he talked a little about that in Kansas City. I kind of always fear Kansas City because they're very good from September to December, and then they kind of fold in the playoffs. If you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I think you're always worried about that because it happens so often. And I'm not sure they're going to fold this year because they're pretty good behind their quarterback, Mahomes. But we'll see. I like Kansas City in that one at home. And then the Dallas at the Rams. I'm a kind of a pseudo Dallas fan. I grew up a big fan of the Cowboys when I was younger. I moved to Dallas after college to work at the newspaper there, and then came here to get a pretty good job at the Tucson Citizen. Obviously, I love Dallas, but I think the Rams will beat them. I don't follow the Cowboys that much anymore. I grew out of that young man phase of football worship. Thank goodness. Now I just cover the games and no longer a fan. So we, at any point, this is just curious, John, at any point did you have a team or teams growing up?
No.
Even in New York?
Even in New York, yep.
Well, no Giants, just, no Buffalo.
I didn't get the gene,
Yeah, well, the good thing is, and kind of like, I have that same gene now. I contacted the gene you have now.
Oh, dude.
Because I enjoy sports. I talk about it all the time.
There you go.
People ask me about U of A all the time. I, you know, go out and people recognize who I am sometimes, and they say, hey, what about this, what about that? But I don't really, how can I say this? I'm not a big fan of sports in terms of following them, cheering. I think that went away about 30 years ago because it's more about work and it's a job.
Sure.
And that luster kind of wore off. Because now it's more about covering the games, writing about the stories, and not cheering for anybody. You just kind of straight and narrow and kind of being objective.
I think it was cool what you were saying yesterday about focusing on the people.
Yeah.
I mean, the stories behind people are fascinating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They are. And that's why I have the people I have on the show. We talk a little about the game, but it's more about their background, what got them into sports, why they love it, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I really do.
Yeah, I think more people want to hear about that. Especially, I mean, it's funny. I got some calls yesterday and maybe a couple of texts. We had Mike Gabrielson on the show yesterday, and we talked for about 90 minutes of just the past, not so much about not so much about games, just about the people that we covered, some of the good things, some about the bad things. And at some point, one guy said that we sounded old, or he did, old and crotchety, kind of just very negative about the whole thing. But I think what he was doing was, back in the day, he was on this side of the mic, and he was not as positive, but he was, you know, very proactive, or whatever the word is, it'll come to me, how he talked the sports up. Now he's not filtered. Now he doesn't have to be nice, or doesn't have to be...
No expectations.
Correct. Yeah. He doesn't have to kiss butt, or whatever the word terms is.
Show more himself.
Yeah. And which, that was exactly him. It's more crotchety, more straightforward. Without any ramifications.
Yeah.
No. I'm a little bit like that on this show because, you know, I'm not going to answer to anybody, and if they don't like it, I'm sorry. Sure. But I don't get that crazy with it either.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, again, it's anybody can get stats and scores. You can get those off a sheet somewhere.
Right.
But people's stories.
Right. That's why I try to have as many guests as I can. And also, I'm not sure how many people want to listen to me jibber jabber on the radio like I am right now. But I do love it. I do love going to the games, enjoying the action. And then if I don't have to write, going home and not worried about writing or meeting a deadline or whatever. Because that's the difficult part. You know, people always say you go to the games and you get to hang out with the players. Well, not exactly. Mm. Because the work actually begins at the buzzer.
Sure.
Because that's when you start to go down to the press room, and then you start thinking about the stories, angles, writing, deadlines, words, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the job part.
It's the job part, right. I always often say this, you know, while everybody else is having fun drinking margaritas or having a beer afterward, we're in the press room kind of thinking, what's a good word to rhyme with win?
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. To me it is, at least. Because we're in front of our computers. It's funny, when I was a little kid, my son's teacher asked him, and he was like 5 or 6 at the time. He says, "What does your dad do?" He says, "I really don't know. He stands in front of the computer, yells at the computer, says bad words to the computer, and sits in front of the TV and yells at the TV. But I don't know what he does."
That's so great.
About a month or so later, I ran into the teacher like at a grocery store. And she says, "Hi, Mr. Rivera, how are you? Trey I talked to Trey. He doesn't know what he's doing. I says, what do you mean? He said that you curse at your computer, you yell at the TV, and you're always mad at because you talk about some deadlines. I think, oh, I get it. I'm a sports writer. And then she understood what exactly what he was talking about because she's a sports fan. So she got exactly what he was saying. And this is a kid talking about 6 years old, 5 years old. You know, out of the mouth of babes, you know.
Or kids say the darndest things. That shows you how old I am.
Yes, yes. Yeah. No, I remember that show. Go. That was with, wasn't that with Cosby?
Art Linkletter?
Yeah, Art Linkletter. Okay, yeah. So, see, yeah. That's me.
See, I'm that much older.
Yeah. Good that you remember back in the day. Yes, yes. What else? Basketball, I think we've talked about that enough yesterday. We might show some of the yesterday's press conference with Sean. He went about 15, 20 minutes yesterday, and then Ryan Luther went about eight or nine, talking about his time here and what he's going through, like I said earlier. So maybe we have time to do that. Let's do this. I know it's been really quick. Let's make a call out to Mr. Picaretta. It's 1:27. By the time, oh, he's already on the line. Let's say hello to Mike, and then we'll kind of go to break and then come back and talk about the Book Richardson situation. Mike, are you there?
I'm right here.
Great. Thanks for calling in early. You lawyers are pretty good at time. You know that.
We keep track of it.
Good to hear from you. I talked to you this morning. I haven't talked to you in a while. I think that's a good thing. You know, I know you're a big UA fan, and typically when I was at the Citizen, I'd call you during the bad times when, you know, a player or two got in trouble or whatever to get information. But now I'm asking you about the Book Richardson situation. I know you're not involved with it. You're kind of a guy who's just observing like many of us are here. But just before we go to break, I wanted to ask you, when this first broke in September of 17, what did your initial thoughts? What were your initial thoughts?
Well, my initial thoughts are that it was another one of over criminalization because there's no statute on the books that makes NCAA violations a crime,
mm-hmm.
And so I thought, here we go, an overzealous prosecutor going for a headline. And. And because I felt fairly comfortable, even if all the facts were true, that none of the participants felt that they were committing crimes. Even if it's true, they may have known they had NCAA compliance issues. But I sort of rolled my eyes and saying, now really, we got the federal criminal justice system enforcing the NCAA rules?
Yeah, I think I've heard that too many times, initially in September and even today, that, you know, what was the big deal? There were no crimes met. So now, from that point in September, did your theory or your thought on the process change at all, almost, what, 18 months later?
Well, my thoughts didn't change, but, A, they were able to convince a federal judge to uphold the charges, and they were able to convince a jury to convict people. So those legal standards are going to have to be reviewed by a higher court, and hopefully a higher court will take a more critical eye on the law on the issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to break real quick and then talk to Michael more on the other side, more concerning with the Book situation and his decision to make a plea. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Our house has a lot of windows.
We were always getting up to adjust the light in the room.
But then we discovered Budget Blinds motorized window coverings.
You can't beat the quality or price.
Now we just touch a button on the remote or wall switch.
And shades go up, like this.
With no cords, they're kid-friendly and pet-safe.
Hurry, your chance to save on kid-friendly motorized window coverings from Budget Blinds is ending soon.
Call locally owned Budget Blinds in Tucson at 790-6180.
Sound familiar?
Well, we did the oil change, but we found your blinker fluid was low, your fan belt needed lube, and the air in your tires needed to be rotated. Your total is $650.
Take a deep breath and breathe easy at Breathe Easy Automotive. We explain every service before we work on your car. Our mechanics are on salary, not commission. Check out our website at breatheeasyautomotive.com for more information and specials.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
and I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What, the job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
And now it's time for an extra point with Steve Rivera.
So, how was your 2018? For the University of Arizona Athletic Program, for lack of a better word, it was miserable. Of course, they've seen better days. Figure that Arizona began the year with the firing of head coach Rich Rodriguez in early January. They went through a short list of possible candidates and hired Kevin Sumlin, the hot name in coaching at the time. Some think it was a good hire, some others really don't. But the jury will be out for another season or two. Then came the lingering problems with the FBI investigation as it pertains to the Arizona basketball program. It all ended with the disaster that was the NCAA first-round loss to Buffalo. Arizona's only good news when it came to news. After all, Sumlin's first season behind quarterback Khalil Tate was supposed to be a great one. It never happened, as it sputtered to a disappointing season. And now we have basketball, and things to this point haven't looked good. Maybe it'll turn around, just in time as we turn the page on 2018.
I was searching for a way to stop using drugs. I reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. I went to my first NA meeting and didn't know what to expect. Supported by recovering addicts, I realized that I was not alone. I heard them talk about feelings that I was afraid to talk about. And recovery from drug addiction, something I was afraid to dream about. It is possible to stop using drugs.
Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help. 881-8381. That's 881-8381.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on news.
Welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KBOI. I'm on the phone with the local attorney, Michael Picaretta. Good to have you, Michael. Just real quick, when you found out yesterday that he had gotten the plea, what did you think yesterday?
Well, since probably 98% of federal cases end up being plea bargained and not going to trial, the fact there was a plea didn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, he had a private lawyer, and to try a federal criminal case, especially if you don't have a job and resources, can be not financially feasible. So the fact there was ultimately a plea was not surprising. I was a little saddened on it because I think there's really strong legal issues, and I feel bad when we're putting basketball coaches in prison for NCAA improprieties, and plus it just doesn't look good for the U of A, and I don't know where it's going from here.
Right, and that was my next question. As it pertains to the U of A, we're still kind of up in the air because I don't think it is anything criminally. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but it's more NCAA related for down the road.
Well, there's issues. I haven't read the exact document, mm-hmm. but if the news reports are accurate, he acknowledged receiving money to recommend these people as agents to certain players, which isn't that troubling. But what could be troubling is if he received money and they tie it to promises to pay recruits to play basketball here, and he actually got the money, and whatever the backstory is in terms of how far that went and was that real, or was he just scamming the people, telling them that to get their money?
Sure.
Was it being paid? Has it been paid in the past? Is he going to sit down and cooperate with federal investigators and whatever bodies are buried in any of the athletic programs that he was involved in or is aware of? Those are all question marks.
Do you think, because it's not going to trial, that that would eventually come out, or does he have to talk? Not necessarily, correct?
No, no, he doesn't have to cooperate, but once he makes the step to plead guilty, and once he's going to be sentenced before a judge, many, many judges look favorably upon somebody cooperating with the government. So that, I don't know what's going on that end, but I would guess that's something that he has to think long and hard about. And there may be nothing there. You know, we're all sort of speculating on the things, and we don't know what, if anything else, was done, what happened here, where the truth is, who else, if anybody, was involved. So, you know, you can speculate, but speculating tends to ruin people's reputation unfairly. So I think let's wait and see where it falls out. But it's not a good thing for the University of Arizona or any of these other programs.
And not a good thing in terms of what, negative press or their name being used like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's negative. It's if he was offering money to players to play here, that's clearly a violation. It's other programs will use that recruits. We don't know what the NCAA's position is going to be in and how far it's going to go. But, you know, the NCAA is, you know, sometimes may wish to take some type of punitive action to sort of take the eye off them and their problems with underpaying of college basketball and football players. And it's very easy to throw a program or an individual under the bus to protect the brand.
Right. I think that's where we're at now. Even though he doesn't talk, or if he does or doesn't talk, it's now the NCAA's role to kind of see what happened, not just at Arizona, but at a number of schools involved in this situation, which could take, I don't know, a year, two, maybe more.
Well, here's the thing. He's not obligated to talk to the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to do that. He's not obligated or required to have a full discussion with federal agents unless that's part of his agreement, and that's not what the news indicated. And thirdly, we don't know what, if anything, he knows. You know, I can speculate that you can put a much better spin on this from his side that doesn't deeply involve the basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
But that's speculation, just like you can speculate that, you know, that it was worse than the brief blurb we're reading in the news.
Sure, sure. There's always more to the story, like I used to say all the time when I wrote the stories, because there was only so much information you had or could use or whatever. But let's assume for a second that he talks to the FBI authorities or the federal authorities. Does the NCAA have access to that?
Well, no, they don't, unless the FBI voluntarily, or the government decides voluntarily to turn over certain information to it. They don't have a right if it's before a grand jury or if it's in some type of agreement not to disclose. But other times the federal government, they might make a decision, since they've been going for the headlines in this case, to say, no, in this case, anything that's non-confidential, we are going to fully share with the NCAA. Or they could make a condition saying, look, we will look more favorably upon you if you cooperate fully with the NCAA, too. So it's all the devil's in the detail,
right.
All of which we don't know now.
And it's still too early to tell, correct? I mean, I liken this back in September. We were like the first inning of a nine-inning game. I would assume that maybe now, if I use the same analogy, we're in the fifth inning of a nine-inning game, because there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, we're maybe past the fifth inning.
With a seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, but I'd like, if I could see the legal documents that he signed, that would give, you know, there's sometimes hints in there that when you read them, reading between the lines, it gives you information that might not be apparent from the direct words.
Right, right. Okay. I know you're a, I'm assuming you're a UA fan, too. You're a UA.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so how does this sit? How does all this sit? I know that Sean's not implicated in any of this. His names did not, or his name did not come up on certain things. It did talk about him, at least ESPN reports talking about, he talked to Dawkins a number of times. How does that sit with an Arizona fan, you think? I'm sure you talked to a number of them at parties and things like that.
Well, you know, I'm biased.
Sure.
And so I'm going to give a man like Sean Miller the benefit of all the doubts until it's proven otherwise. And he has steadfastly denied any culpability in this. So I'm siding with him unless there's overwhelming evidence that says he's not, that there is more to the story. And I just don't think that an individual would be that steadfast in his innocence if there were some bodies buried that he knew of.
Sure.
It would be easier for him to take the graceful exit out and not subject himself and his family to letting the drip, drip, drip of negative news. So I'm supportive of him. And the second thing is, I don't really buy for a second that any of these universities were victims of these assistant
sure.
coaches. Mm-hmm. They've benefited financially, publicity-wise, reputation-wise, year upon years. And I don't think they're so naive to think in the high level of Division I sports that there aren't occasionally people that sometimes do things in the system to get competitive edge. I don't think they had knowledge of any particular act, but I think they reaped, all these schools reaped the financial benefits over the years, and to end up being overly critical of an assistant coach when they're the ones who raked in the money seems to me a little hypocritical.
Sure, sure. No, it was particular when it all happened. I mean, you look back and you say, why now? Why now and why this? Why are they looking at this at this time when they could have done this years ago?
The only positive thing of this, I think, is that it has sent a message to various, the shoe companies, the AAU people, basketball coaches, that this behavior is potentially criminal, is potentially life-ruining, and there are sanctions that are really excessive, so there's less incentive to violate mm-hmm. these rules if you know the end result is a criminal behavior or a criminal action as opposed to an NCAA discipline. What I think is unfortunate is this first group of people didn't know that and now are being prosecuted and perhaps imprisoned for behavior that they may have known was improper, may have known was wrong, but never dreamed that it would end up putting them in a federal prison.
Sure, sure. What did you make of Sean's so where do you think that basketball, maybe football, if it does happen in that, where do you think it's going to go now? Just cleaner situations or just more careful situations?
Well, I think it will have an impact of cleaner situations just because the risks are so high. Mm-hmm. There's always been unsavory people associated with the potential to make money off the athletes. So I don't think that will end, but I think it'll be a little more difficult to at least have people associated with major companies or major universities to participate in it. I'm not naive to think that on a local level
sure.
that there won't be attempts to financially benefit or to put people in line with certain agents. Upon graduation, they may feel they're doing the person a service by referring them to a certain individual who's a good agent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people will be a little more careful in terms of compensation for that service.
Sure, sure. And maybe finally, because you have an eye for words and how they're used, Sean's denial, the one that came out in February, I guess maybe early March, after the Oregon game, did you maybe dissect it and what he said? You kind of referred to it earlier.
Well, I couldn't tell if he's parsing words. I just based it on a general feeling that I think he's a reputable man in general, and that if there were things he did that he now was concerned about, especially with all the federal and NCAA heat to come, that there's no need he would have been that strong, and I don't think the university would have stood behind him.
Sure.
If they weren't comfortable that he's being straight with them. And so that gave me comfort, because big institutions, whether it's a university, a corporation, or the government, if they have a problem with an employee, no matter how high up, that they will definitely jettison that person to make the institution look better. You know, look at Louisville and some of those
sure.
other ones where they had evidence of it. So when I saw that told me, you know, maybe he does not have direct involvement in any of this, and at least people are sticking their necks on the line for the man. And
right.
I think, you know, all my indications is he's a man of high repute. So that made me feel comfortable
right.
with it. But, again, I'm not privy to
sure.
you know, all the other information.
Sure, that's where I was going to go with the next, only in that, and you kind of refer to it, with Dr. Robbins and Dave Hickey kind of putting their jobs almost on the line in defense of Sean.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if their jobs are on the line, but they put their names
yeah.
on the line to support him, and I've been through this in other circumstances, and high-ups in institutions are much faster to jettison even the potential problem
sure.
than stand behind an employee.
Yeah, just to make it look good for the moment or for the long-term effect.
Yeah, they have to protect the institution,
yeah,
not the individual. And it's sad, but I've seen many, many people, just the whisper of a problem. So that told me they're whatever they know, they're comfortable with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Michael, I appreciate your time. I think we're in the seventh inning stretch of this ordeal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Okay.
And the other thing is, recognize, too, that these people, Mr. Richardson and the others, I mean, this is a life-ruining
sure.
event.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional stress placed upon them by this, even if the allegations are true, seem to me well in excess of the behavior. And so I feel for them and all the collateral damage and all the pain that he and his family have gone through.
Sure, sure. No, and you well understand it, because you've been part of it almost on a daily basis for a number of other things.
I've sat next to a lot of people
yeah.
like that, and it's not good.
Right, right. Michael, thanks again for joining me. That's Michael Picaretta, one of the great attorneys, local attorneys in town. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
bye
Michael.
Bye.
I appreciate it. Hey, John, let's go to break. I love that conversation, and we'll talk more about it on the other side.
So you're planning a special event, but what about tents, tables, chairs, linens, servingware, and everything else you'll need? Don't have all of that equipment? Arizona Party Rental does. Hi, this is Ken Flower, owner of Arizona Party Rental. With thousands of items in stock, we have what it takes to make your event a great success. Do you need event planning advice? Our event professionals are here to help you. Visit our rental showroom at 3619 East Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net. Arizona Party Rental, where every event is special.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
It began with five words. If not me, then who? The Travis Manion Foundation has taken those five words and grown them into a national movement. The Travis Manion Foundation is dedicated to assisting our nation's veterans, families of the fallen, and the next generation of young leaders. It's about remembering the sacrifices of all the men and women who've given their lives for this country and honoring their legacies through service in your own community. It's about adopting the motto, if not me, then who, and applying it to your daily lives like so many others have already done.
All these great things that we live in this beautiful country, it didn't happen because no one chose to serve. Serving should be like in your blood. If not me, then who?
From our 9/11 Heroes Run to putting character to action in your community, discover how you can honor the fallen by challenging the living. Get involved at TravisMannion.org.
I was facing foreclosure. I was desperate for help.
I paid them $1,500 and never got the help they promised.
Don't let the fear of losing your home make you the victim of a loan modification scam. Remember these facts to protect yourself. It's illegal for most companies to charge fees in advance, no matter how small. No company can guarantee they can modify your loan or stop a foreclosure. And never send your mortgage payment to anyone but your lender. The easiest way to avoid a scam? Don't pay for a loan modification. Get free help from a HUD-approved counseling agency now. To learn more, report a scam, or find out if you've been a victim, call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit loanscamalert.org. That's 1-888-995-4673 and loanscamalert.org.
Know the signs. Get the facts.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KVOI. I really enjoyed that. John, have you been following the trial? Do you have any sense of what's going on with this trial?
Afraid not.
No? It's very convoluted, very, very passionate with Arizona basketball fans because they're concerned about the future of the program, how it pertains to Sean Miller, and obviously to Book. I've met Book a few times, obviously covering the team. Very good guy, an out there guy. But unfortunate, all this has happened over the last couple of years, almost 18 months now, when it all broke in late September, and now here we are, still with a lot left to go through in terms of information coming out. In people I talk to, they ask me all the time what's going to happen, and I really don't know. But I figured that Book would eventually take a plea. I guess realistically, he thought it was going to happen. Not he thought. It started to happen, or the talk of it started in November after the trial, of the first trial involving all this, and a lot of people were found guilty in New York. So I'm sure that the coaches, now it's the coaches' turn to be involved. The guy at USC took a plea, Coach Bland, Tony Bland, and now Book Richardson. I think there's a trial next month involving the Oklahoma State assistant coach. So I think things like this are going to start to fall, the dominoes, if you will. And we won't know for a while, because I think once this is all over with the feds, that the NCAA comes into town and does their work, and we might find out about what will happen to the program eventually in a year or two, if not longer, probably 2 years. It takes forever for them to investigate and get their I's dotted and their T's crossed.
And for people like me, what specifically is the allegation?
Well, that he took Book Richardson took $20,000 from a purported, I guess, alleged sports agent, and the money was to be used to be given to players to influence them to go a certain route after their playing time is done, to go to different agents, to certain agents, to sway them to do other things, you know, post-basketball.
Okay. Yeah.
And as you know, the players aren't allowed to get money from third sources or whatever, and that was part of it. The question is, what did he do with the money? Did he get the money? When did he get the money? Did he keep the money? Did he give the money? There's a lot of steps that still need to be followed.
Sure.
As it pertains to Sean, did Sean know if this was happening or not? And was there more to it? Is there more to the story than just this?
Right.
Because in the paperwork, the initial paperwork filed in September, Book's name was mentioned, and so was another assistant, Joe Pasternak, who they were talking to, allegedly talking to agents like these trying to have players either paid for or whatever to come to Arizona. So it's kind of a long, it's not kind of, it is a long, convoluted type of suit, and a lot of investigating, looking in places that, you know, typically doesn't happen here at Arizona. And now Sean's name was involved in it, in or mentioned in the trial of about some recruits, or in terms of talking to an agent, Dawkins, I think is his name. And but no one knows what the conversations were. And ESPN kind of did a couple of stories that kind of got the story wrong. They had to fix it a couple of times. So in the media, at least with ESPN is concerned, they've kind of flubbed their invest in their reporting. So it kind of gives some kind of bad credence to the story, at least through ESPN. So you can't really believe some people and what they're saying and what really happened. That's why I've said from the beginning, we'll know when we know. We just don't know when we're going to know it, and it's going to take a long time. Mm. It's like a bad marriage. You don't know when the divorce is going to happen.
Yeah, right.
but you know eventually it's going to happen.
Right.
Maybe Sean gets scot-free for this, and that could very well happen. Or he can get maybe a slap on the wrist or whatever. I think it would probably be more of a slap on the wrist, in part because he is the boss there, and all this happened. It's like, and I've likened this to a parent. You know, you have two kids who are good kids but get in trouble, and they're 16 years old. At the end of the day, guess who's at fault too? The parent.
There you go.
And he's got to take some of the brunt of the consequences.
Sure.
You know, maybe not all of it, but some of it, because he is the parent, or they are the parents. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm glad that I talked to Michael Piccaretta. Hadn't talked to him in a while, and was suggested to talk to him about this event that's going on at U of A, especially because he's a fan. Yeah, I'm sure he has some emotional ties to the program in terms of, you know, he wants them to do well. And like he said, he's followed Sean. He believes he's a strong, good man. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So we're going to talk to Darren Weiner here in the next hour, a good friend from the late 80s, early 90s. Talk about his time at U of A and the people he's met. He's a client to some of the stars. I know he's been called the Jerry Maguire of real estate, especially in Miami. So we'll talk about the life. Maybe he can adopt me, and I can move to Miami. Here we go. We'll talk to everybody on the other side. Thank you.